The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Help us to see, Father, what we'll be spending lots of time in the next 10 to 12 weeks. Chapters 13 through 18. Father, the last night of Jesus' public ministry, we thank you for what you want to say to us all through his teaching. Nothing greater than the intimate, close, personal conversation of our Lord during these chapters. May we see his heart and his desire, not just for the disciples only, Father, but also for us. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
What would you want to say if you was on death row and you knew tomorrow that you would die? Because the governor has already put off another stay. So you know you're going to die. What would be your conversation? And who would you want to have that conversation with? What would you want them to remember about your last evening that would make them never forget what you said that last evening with them? And this is Jesus. He knows he's going to die tomorrow. And he spends it with his disciples. And he tells them things that they and you and I will never forget. What an amazing time to be in the mind of God Almighty in his public ministry, his last public ministry evening on earth. Think we can learn something? I think we can. Chapter 13 brings us to the first part of the evening after the triumphant entry, after the cursing of the fig tree, after the turning over of the tables in the temple, after Jesus' last summary of the first 12 chapters, which is the first 3 years of his ministry. Again, remember, chapter 12 took 1 through 12 took 3 years, and 13 through 18 took one evening. Beginning at chapter 13, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Even Judas. He loved him to the end. He gave Judas one of the greatest opportunities to change his mind that we're going to discuss and talk about as we go through these chapters that you could ever believe. And he rejected it. He sits down and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto him in his hand, and that he was come from God and he was going away to God, he stood up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, poured water in a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. And then there was one disciple that had a problem with it. And we know who that is. Well, it may have been two. We only know about one. There's no amens on that one? You think Judas may have had a problem with Jesus washing their feet? Well, we're going to see. And we know Peter had a problem. Now, the question I have for you, and I want you to read and study up on this a little bit before we really break down chapter 13, is why did Peter change his mind? At first, Peter says, oh, no, you're not going to wash my feet. I've been walking around in the dust all day. It may smell a little bit. Think that was the reason? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. You're not going to wash my feet. And then he turns around after Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you're not clean. He said, well, you need to wash my whole body. The only way you can find out, I believe, I don't think you'll find this in any of the other commentaries, but my study shows me something about the entire conversation. And Peter changes his mind. So I want you to check that out. Would you check that out? See if you can come up with some reasons of why Peter changed his mind about not only wanting his feet washed, but his whole body washed. I think you may be absolutely surprised, because you and I need to understand what Peter was saying and how and why Peter changed his mind, because you are in similar situations. Chapter 13. And they finished the dinner. I think that they found the receipt for the Last Supper. Historical records in Israel. 13 meals, 12 steaks and a salad, 12 coffees and a glass of water, 12 desserts, and when you look at the bill, it was divided up into 13 ways. Now, why does it seem like Jesus gets the less and pays the most? Is that the way it is in your life? He has paid the most, and oftentimes he receives the least. Gonna be pretty interesting when we break down chapter 13. How about chapter 14? Woo! This is when it gets good. This is when they break it down, and the promise of the Holy Spirit is gonna come. Now, how many times did Jesus give the Holy Spirit to the disciples? Anyone know how many times Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples? Because before Jesus died, the Holy Spirit was given temporarily and selectively. So how many times did Jesus give the Holy Spirit to the disciples? Anybody know? Did he give the Holy Spirit to the disciples equally every time? Isn't it amazing how much we don't know about the Bible that we think we know? Yes. Amen. And he says, I am going to send you another comforter. Now, that's why I get most excited, because of one of my favorite cookies. See, how can Jesus give you another comforter if you haven't already had a comforter? So it's like the old television commercial. Would you like another peanut butter sandwich cookie? How can I have another nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie when I hadn't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie? Somebody say amen to that theology. Amen. So if God is going to give us another comforter, that is the relationship that you and I need to know today, because we live with the another. How many of you have thought about that one? And do you realize that you can't have a successful Christian walk without knowing about the ministry of the another comforter? Verse 1, chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Guess what? That place is prepared. Woo, can't wait to break down. Can you get excited about when we're going to break down chapter 14?
Yes, sir.
How about 15? Ah, 15, man, that's where a lot of Christians have some problems with salvation, whether it's eternal salvation or whether you can lose your salvation. Chapter 15. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And if you don't have a good, strong fruit base, he will cut you off, throw you in the fire, and burn you. Boy, those who think you can lose your salvation, they'll camp on chapter 15. In other words, I just said, those who think you can lose your salvation, which means I do not. I got proof. Are we going to get into that proof in chapter 15? Hope you got some good notes. Bring me some good notes. I'd like to find out what you think. Call the church. Dr. Rachel, leave me some questions. Not that she's going to answer your questions, just leave questions for me with Rachel. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in eternal security. Whoo-wee. And what about this one? God is not going to test you on the amount of your work, but the quality of your work. That's chapter 15. Am I the only one that's excited about these chapters? What's that? You've been wrestling with them? Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 15. Man, that's some good stuff in chapter 15. And Jesus is laying it to the disciples, because who needs to know that there's no death that can subdue them? The disciples. Because he's getting ready to die and going to leave them. Chapter 16 is a reiteration of chapter 14 about how important it is for you to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit and that you are okay. Now, if Jesus in one night spends two dissertations on the ministry of the other comforter, how important do you think that other comforter is to us today? Wow. Verse 1, chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you would think that he does God a favor. I became a Christian. I didn't come to suffer. I came for blessings. Can I get an amen, somebody? If I would have known I was going to go through all this as a Christian, I don't know if I would have accepted you. Oh, you're looking at me like you don't think that. How many of you, don't raise your hands. How many of you in here that's married right now, that if a couple of things would have happened to you before you got married that happened to you in marriage, you would have still said, I do? Oh, don't get funny with me. Don't be smiling over there. Because you know when we get married, we think we have an ideal person. We got an ideal. After about 2 years, you found out you're in an ordeal. And anything over 3 years, you want a new deal. That's for those non-believers. There's a lot of things, man, that you don't think you will have to go through as a Christian that you go through. I'm going to tell you, can I throw something at you real honest? Let me throw something at you real honest. How many of those commercials that look so good to you if you weren't a Christian? Just commercials. Hot day. Sweaty day. And then the coolest train. Hoo-hoo. Chum chugging in to cool you off. Oh, some of you are saying, there's no difference in my Christian life. Lifestyles of the rich and not so famous. If you weren't a Christian, come on. Jesus is awfully pushy. And he tells you and I what we can and can't do, how we can think and can't think, who we can be friends with and who we can't be friends with, who can marry and who we can't marry. And once you marry, how you can't get out of it. Jesus is awfully pushy. That's chapter 16. Some of you can always say, let me know when chapter 16 is coming. I will skip. How about chapter 17? Uh-huh. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, come on. That was a courtesy amen. Because you guys really don't know what I'm about to say, so you're not going to amen me yet, are you? How about the real Lord's Prayer? That's chapter 17. Not Matthew. That's the disciples' prayer. Chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. I want to show you something real quick. You got 17? Look at verse 3. Jesus speaking, and this is life eternal. Now, Jesus speaking. Now, what is strange about this wording? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If I'm not mistaken, I know it's Jesus because it's written in red. Yes, sir. I'm amazed how the Bible knows when Jesus was speaking. Yeah. Uses a different ink. How many of you in here, you can raise your hand on this because I want to know. How many in here think that eternal life means you live forever? God, that's among his people. Two. Do you know most people believe if you got eternal life, you live forever? Well, you're going to live forever if you don't have eternal life. Just where you're going to spend it. It's the difference between everlasting life and eternal life. And the eternal life, according to Jesus, is not living eternity in heaven. Now, let me ask this question again. How many of you thought living in Jesus eternally meant that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus, and that's what eternal life in Christ means? Let me see your hands. Okay? That's not what Jesus said. Let me tell you what Jesus said. I'm going to break that down in the Lord's Prayer. He says, you're going to get to know me. And it takes forever to get to know me. Whoa! Somebody say amen to the pastor, because you hadn't thought about that. Oh, that's going to be boring. Just learning about Jesus. You don't have the slightest idea who Jesus is then. How can our Lord and Savior have any aspect of boring about him? The prayer of Jesus, when he prays for you and I, chapter 17. Oh, he's going to bring it home. And then we move to chapter 18. Sam, Bunny, you got something for me to close the service today? Does that work if I say it like that and give you preparation? Okay. Chapter 18, the betrayal of Jesus Christ. The betrayal of Jesus. The arrest of Jesus. The three trials of Jesus. Now, that's basically four trials that Jesus goes through, but he only does three different people: Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate. And when Pilate throws out, what is truth? Do you know the background behind that question? Anybody know the background behind that question? What is truth? Because there's three, I got four fingers. There is three sons of God involved in that conversation. So Pilate is asking, oh, really? That's three of us supposed to be the Son of God in here. What is truth? And let me give you a little secret. Is the world still asking that question? That's why we have so many religions, so many denominations, so much wrong doctrine. What is truth? The truth of the matter is, Jesus is the truth. And among him is all truth. 13 through 18. I cannot wait to dig and to plow and to fertilize through these chapters. Because if it doesn't change your life, you are not alive. Those that are visiting, please. I'd love to meet you in the back. My wife won't be back there, and I'd be nicer. Love y'all. You bless my heart for wanting to walk with God. You bless my heart. Father, thank you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.